the willing redeemer. We continue then. Ruth has been gleaning in the field of Boaz. Naomi has disclosed the fact that he is a near kinsman and a kinsman of Elimelech, Naomi's dead husband, and therefore one who, according to the law of the Lord in Israel, was in a position to redeem, that is, to both redeem the land that belonged to Elimelech and that had been sold, and also to marry Ruth. Well, first of all then, seeking the Redeemer in the first 9 verses. First of all, we have Naomi seeking rest for Ruth in verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" The word rest here is a word frequently used of a place of rest. For example, during the flood, when Noah released the dove from the ark, and the water still covered the earth, and the dove came back, and we read, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot." And frequently this word rest here is used in that sense of a resting place. And the idea is of Ruth settling into the security and protection of a good husband. But if you turn back to chapter 1 and verse 9, you remember that when Naomi was telling her daughters-in-law to return to Moab, she said, Ruth 1:9, "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." So that she had been saying that it would be in Moab that each would find their rest. Whatever her thoughts had been then, she now sees the Lord opening the door to such rest for Ruth, that rest and that security in being married to a faithful and godly man. The Lord can provide in ways that we look not for. And then we see also Ruth seeking this Redeemer in verses 2 to verse 9. You see that Naomi's plan was that Ruth should seek out Boaz, and that it should be done secretly and at night. This may well be so that Boaz could have the freedom to make up his mind without anyone knowing of what had happened. And yet the procedure followed was largely according to custom, however strange it may seem in certain respects to us. The winnowing took place normally in the evening when there was a breeze, and when the grain was trodden down and then thrown up in the air to blow the husks away. The threshing floor was normally a flattened area with chalk to consolidate it and keep it flat, and possibly with a canopy roof, but with no sides. And so the wind would blow and the grain would be thrown up into the air. And Boaz lay down in his working clothes to sleep, and Ruth, according to Naomi's instruction, came and lay at his feet. When he woke up, she asked him, in the language of the time, to be her husband. That's the meaning of the phrase in verse 9. He said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt, or thy garment, or covering over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. It was a sign of protection, and the idea of spreading a covering over her, it's the idea of her being taken under his protection as his wife. There is no immoral suggestion of any kind. And she gives the reason for this: for thou art a near kinsman. It's the word Goel, or the Redeemer, the one who buys back, the one who pays back, the one who frees. And it was a right and an obligation that belonged to the next of kin. So here we have then the seeking a redeemer, Naomi sending and Ruth seeking Boaz to be the redeemer. But then secondly, we have Boaz's willingness in verse 10 to 13. And first of all, we have Boaz's admiration for Ruth's covenant faithfulness. Boaz's admiration for Ruth's covenant faithfulness. Verse 10. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Often when the book of Ruth is being taught or discussed, a great deal of romance is imported into the text. Whether there was much romance involved or not, the text does not actually tell us, in the sense of what Boaz's feelings were, what Ruth's feelings were. These things are not the main focus of attention. What is emphasized and what stands out is faithfulness in the covenant of God. Faith in Christ is the chief obligation of the covenant. But flowing from that faith, there will be the fruit. And so those who keep the covenant will be holy. The Lord says in the Old Testament and in the New, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. I, the Lord your God, am holy." So the faith that the covenant requires, and which is itself the result of the grace of God working in the hearts of the elect, but nevertheless the faith which the covenant requires is a faith that worketh by love. It is a faith that is not without works. For as it has often been said, although we are justified by faith alone, yet faith is never alone. And so Ruth's faith showed in that she sought to keep the covenant requirement and provision in the situation in which she and Naomi found themselves. And so Boaz says, "Thy kindness, thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." Now that word kindness is a word, and we've come across it a lot in the Psalms. It's a word, a Hebrew word, which is used of God's covenant love. And you will perhaps remember that we've said that it signifies the idea of faithful, loyal love. And of course that begins with God himself. God shows covenant faithfulness and love and favor. He binds himself by his own promises to his people. But his people, they love him because he first loved them. As a result of his covenant love to them, they also love him. And so here we have Ruth's love to the Lord, who first loved her. He loved her. He made his covenant known to her, not only outwardly, but he effectually wrought in her heart so that she kept the covenant and trusted in the Savior, and now she loves the Lord. And her kindness, or her loyal, faithful love, was shown to the Lord first of all. It had been shown at the beginning by her binding herself to Naomi and coming among the people of God. It wasn't only that she showed great affection for her mother-in-law, though she did that. It was her love to the Lord that was reflected in that loyalty and love and cleaving to her mother-in-law and to the people of God. So that was her covenant faithfulness and love at the beginning. But now Boaz says, thy kindness in the latter end is greater than at the beginning. And if we understand kindness in the sense not just of kindness to man, but in the sense of covenant love and faithfulness to the Lord, which I believe is the correct idea here, then her desire to raise up the name of the dead in Israel and honor the Lord's ordinance concerning the Redeemer and concerning the continuation of the name of Elimelech through her line and through the Redeemer, the kinsman of Elimelech, this was an expression of her desire to honor the Lord and his ordinances. It was part of her covenant obedience to the Lord. And so what Boaz is saying is this, that this girl, this young woman, Ruth, showed covenant faithfulness to the Lord, who had been faithful to her in her dealings with Naomi, in her coming among God's people, and now even more in the fact that instead of going her own way, instead of looking for a young man that would have been normal, she rather is looking to Boaz, who evidently was considerably older than herself, because he was the kinsman redeemer. And it honored the Lord of the covenant that she should seek that Redeemer who would continue the name of the household of Elimelech in Israel. So her willingness to be married to Boaz, the older man, was a fruit of her desire to honor the Lord and his provisions and his decrees and his ordinances for his people. So she honored the Lord and his word rather than following the natural dictates of looking for a younger man. And then we have Boaz himself, faithful in God's covenant. Boaz himself, verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Boaz was willing to act as the kinsman redeemer, and yet acknowledges that there is one who has a prior claim and obligation. Boaz shows a submission to the word and providence of the Lord. We're not told what was in Boaz's mind. We're not directly told whether the thought of marrying Ruth was an attractive idea or not. If he found it an unattractive idea, then nevertheless he is showing his submission to the word of God, in that at that time the Lord required his people to observe this ordinance, and he was willing to play the part of the kinsman redeemer because the Lord required it. But then if, as is more probable, he actually found the prospect of marrying Ruth one that was instinctively attractive to him, then his willingness to point out that there was someone who had a prior claim likewise shows his submission to the word and providence of God. So whichever way you take it, I think the second the most likely, but either way, there is a willingness to trust God's ordinance and providence. Now, to us, it may seem a rather clinical and matter-of-fact approach. Yes, I'll do it, but there's someone else who has first claim. If he'll do it, fine. If not, I'll do it. To us, that may seem somewhat clinical and matter-of-fact. But it was according to the word of the Lord and in submission to his providence. The Lord appointed this rule. The Lord in providence brought about this situation, and the Lord in providence would determine whether the nearer kinsman said yes or no. And so Boaz acknowledges the wisdom of God's ordinance and the wisdom of God's providence. And such a path brought blessing to them both, and it always does. Even in the big things of life, whether it's marriage or whatever, the word of God and the providence of God are reliable. The word tells us what we must do, and God in providence will look after the consequences of our doing it. And as an assurance of his willingness to be the kinsman redeemer if the other man declines, Boaz made an oath in the name of the Lord in verse 13. He swore of his willingness to be the redeemer. And then thirdly, we have waiting upon the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord. Verse 14 to 18. In verse 14 we read, "And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." No one was to know what had happened, at least at this stage. It may be that he was concerned about appearances, but more likely that he was concerned that he should take the matter to the gate and to the elders before it became public knowledge. And then in verse 15 to 17 he gives a considerable amount, 6 measures of barley, for Ruth to take to her mother-in-law. And then verse 18, "Then said she," that is Naomi, "sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Naomi correctly perceives that Boaz will not leave the matter hanging. And the light begins to shine out of the darkness for Naomi's family prospects. This woman who had said, "Call me not Naomi, pleasant, but call me Mara, bitter," now she feels, no doubt, more like Naomi again. The Lord has opened up the way in a manner that no doubt she had never envisaged. But then fourthly, the great Redeemer. The great Redeemer. And here, first of all, the use of the term Redeemer, or the word Goel, which is translated a near kinsman in verse 9. If you have a margin reference, you'll see it's also one that hath the right to redeem. And it's the same basic word that's used, for example, in Exodus 6 and verse 6. Exodus 6 and verse 6. "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." And it's the same basic word used, "I will redeem you." The Lord is the Goel, the near kinsman Redeemer. Or in Isaiah 59 and verse 20. Isaiah 59 and verse 20. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." The Redeemer. That verse is quoted in Romans 11, 26, 27. The term is used as deliverer in that case. "But the Redeemer shall come to Zion." So the Lord is the Redeemer. He redeemed Israel out of Egypt. He would redeem his people out of captivity. And he redeems his people in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so it is not fanciful or random spiritualizing to see in the account here of the kinsman Redeemer a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that was one of the purposes of the whole system appointed in the Old Testament, of which this is a particularly conspicuous and moving example, of the kinsman Redeemer and the Levirate marriage, as it was called. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the kinsman Redeemer. He is the kinsman. He is near to his people. Romans 8 and verse 4, or rather verse 3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." There the apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, seems to be straining to convey the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was as near to being like us as sinlessness would allow. As near to being like us as sinlessness would allow. He's God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He's stressing that Christ was like us, and yet he was not like us in respect of sin. And in verse 29 of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. In Hebrews and chapter 2 and verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. He's saying that Christ is not ashamed to call his people his brethren. And he quotes Psalm 22, where David, the Lord's anointed among the people of God, pointed forward to Christ, the Son of David, the anointed, who is among all his people, and they are his brethren. And then in verse 16 of Hebrews 2, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He didn't take on the nature of angels. He didn't come to redeem angels. Fallen angels, no provision was made for them. The elect angels were those angels who were kept from sinning by the power of God. The angels that kept not their first estate are reserved in chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. There is no redemption for fallen angels. But Christ, the Redeemer, took on the nature of this. He took on the seed of Abraham. He became a man. He was God manifest in the flesh. So he is the kinsman Redeemer. And he is the willing Redeemer. The willing Redeemer. Psalm 40, which we sang, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The willing Redeemer, he did it willingly. He gave his life a ransom for many. And his was an awesome redemptive work. The obligations in law that he took on himself in the covenant of redemption were awesome. He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He undertook to fulfill the law that his people have broken, and to bear the penalty of the transgression of that law that he never broke. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. John 12:27. So Christ, as the kinsman redeemer, took on an awesome role, an awesome work in bearing the wrath of God in the place of his people. With him is plenteous redemption. Last week, we looked at the need of a Redeemer, our poverty and helplessness. Now, the willingness of the Redeemer. The willingness. Boaz was willing to redeem. But Christ was willing to redeem in the supreme, the grandest, the greatest sense that there ever could be. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich.